Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI on this Friday, August 17th, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a good weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live here Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We like to call it Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show right now at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we have the program available anytime, anywhere, so you can pick it up on four websites, buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and there is now a link to the Buckmaster Show at gvnews.com. That's the homepage for the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. Our Friday Focus interview today is with United States Representative Raul Grijalva from Arizona's 8th Congressional District. Representative Grijalva is seeking re-election in the newly formed Congressional District 3, where he is involved in a three-way Democratic primary. Joining me to question the congressman is Mark Evans. He is the administrator for TucsonCitizen.com. If you have a question or comment, we would be delighted to take it at Buckmaster Show Live Line 790-2040. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Mark Evans, good to see you again. And Congressman, welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you again. How you doing?
Doing real well. We're getting a couple of Facebook questions, so I'll start with one right away from Roberta. Your two primary election opponents and your possible Republican opponents are hammering away at you for your boycott of Arizona pronouncement in the wake of SB 1070. Any regrets on that matter, and would you do it again if necessary?
Regrets is an interesting word. Would I have done it differently? Of course. But, you know, at the time, my personal consideration was that, you know, this law that had been signed in by the governor, 1070, that the Supreme Court found essentially unconstitutional, was all about marginalizing people beyond anything I had ever seen in the state. And my ire and my anger with that, I really felt we needed to nationalize it, to make it an issue that went beyond the boundaries of Arizona. And when I said there would be economic consequences, and there should be economic consequences of this kind of action, I was thinking that the boycott that occurred around the denial of the Martin Luther King holiday had a profound effect on beginning to change the mentality and the opinion of the decision makers in the legislature at the time. Well, I underestimated the fact that this decision by Pierce, the legislature, and Brewer was much more firmly ideological, much more committed to that decision, and that economic pressure was not going to change their minds. That kind of a strategy was not going to work. We began to concentrate on the legal strategy. As soon as the suits were filed, both by the government and individuals, we pulled back. The regret is that, if I have any, is the fact that I really felt that you know, especially some of the bigger corporate entities in this state of ours, particularly around Phoenix, would have stepped up and began to put pressure, as they did eventually when they all gathered together to keep another package of anti-immigration bills anti-immigrant bills that Pierce had put together and effectively kept it from passing the Senate.
So would you ever consider doing something like that again?
It'd have to be something horribly horrific. It'd have to be something that that debased people at a level that I can't anticipate, and I hope to God never happens.
Mark Evans.
Now that Paul Ryan's been named as the vice presidential candidate for Mitt Romney, there's a lot of attention on his budget plan that he proposed a year or so ago, especially with dealing with Medicare. And his plan was kind of a response to the Simpson-Bowles Commission that said pretty much to get out of the debt that we're in and balance the budget and reduce the national debt, we're going to have to pretty much raise taxes on everybody and cut spending everywhere. You chair the Congressional Progressive Caucus. You guys came out with your own budget as well. How does that budget compare to Ryan's budget? And do you, from what I read, it had a mix of tax cuts and tax increases as well as spending cuts and spending increases. In relation to Simpson-Bowles, how do we get out of the fiscal mess we're in by without raising taxes on everyone and cutting spending everywhere?
The one agreement that I have with Simpson-Bowles, a general agreement, is two things. First of all, in the report itself, it says Social Security has nothing to do with this deficit, but it is a source for reducing the deficit. Right. The issue of Medicare, I continue to be that was my primary. Those two issues were my primary points of opposition to Simpson-Bowles. But they did say something I agree with entirely, that you have to raise revenue, that this cannot be a cut-your-way-out scenario in terms of the budget, the deficit, and balancing that budget. And what we looked at when we put the Finance Committee together that we had a lot to do with, and we got the approval of the 77 members of the Progressive Caucus to bring it forth, was essentially this. We looked at what the American public was saying, too, and in a very direct way, we went with opinion as part of it. An opinion at the point, and still is, was that people were saying, leave Medicaid, and Social Security alone. They need to be reformed. They need to be streamlined. They need to be better. There are reductions to be made. Raise the cap on income and Social Security and thereby create additional revenue for the trust fund. And we also heard from the American people that to maintain the tax breaks to the middle class, but to that 2%, you know, the Ryan budget gives a $265,000 tax cut to millionaires if it were to go into effect. It's already passed the House twice. That area, closing loopholes, transition fees for stock exchanges over $5 to $10 million, and the list goes on. They were all financial reform, revenue generations, regulatory generation, and corporations, loopholes, and the top 2% were the primary source of revenue generation. The cuts came as a consequence of savings and efficiency reductions, and we looked at all programs, including Medicare and Medicaid. And the getting out of Afghanistan, getting rid of Cold War weaponry that is mostly in place because they have a protected status in terms of they belong to a district and they're important to that district.
Right, they provide jobs throughout the country.
Exactly. And the transition to that, and our budget said the transition from a pure dependency on the defense contracting to a situation where you diversify that those jobs is not going to occur from 1 year to the next. Our budget was 10, 12 years, and at the end of that, we reached a higher level of deficit reduction than the Ryan budget, and at some point down the road, 15 years, we were actually showing a surplus of $21 billion. We made cuts in it, but we also looked in a very cold way at where we're going to have to raise revenue, and our budget attacked that, and we based it on opinion. Economists all over the country endorsed ours and said it was a good product and that it was well thought out, and that
Congressman Rahul Grijalva with us said he'll postpone that phone call for a later point. Quickly make your point there.
And we got validated. We sent it out to many organizations, foundations, and and essentially said, look it over, validate it for us, tell us what's wrong with it. And we essentially got back a lot of good response, good endorsements. We felt very good about it. And what we did is, you know, as progressives and as Democrats, sometimes you just raise a symbolic flag and vote no. I think the American people are getting to the point that no is important in some fights, but presenting an alternative. We're willing to compromise with it. We're willing to sit down both with the General Democratic Caucus and try to figure some things out. We endorse many portions of Obama's budget reductions that he had in there, and we also put in there the American Job Act and others. So we felt that was the way out, because what we wanted our budget to do was to be a jobs generator as opposed to maintaining this very, very, very slippery slope status quo that we have going on right now.
Coming up now on 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show, it's Friday Focus with Congressman Raul Grijalva. Mark Evans is with us. We will return with our Friday Focus interview with the Congressman. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040, if you have a question or comment for the Congressman. We will be back after we hear from the lineup of the people who support the Buckmaster Show, and we ask that you support them. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pedorthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs, and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. Our newsmaker today is Congressman Raul Grijalva. Mark Evans is here. He is the administrator for TucsonCitizen.com. And to the Buckmaster Show live line we go. David, you are up next. Go ahead. You're with the congressman.
Yes. My issue is I think we're headed for a real serious problem with our water. I went to a series of lectures a few years ago at the University of Arizona, and all the scientists agree that our climates can get hotter and drier, and scientists predict is now happening. And I read an article in the paper a while back that every stream, every river, including the Colorado River, which we depend upon, is going into steep decline. At the very same time, building is picking up. I read the article in the Marana paper that the number of building permits issues is on a steep increase.
So you're concerned about growth and the depletion of the water supply.
Yeah.
Congressman, let's let the congressman have a quick say there. And also, there is an issue that is brewing with the Central Arizona Project and the Navajo Generating Station about getting enough power to the CAP.
Yeah, and we've all the delegation, including myself, have written to EPA about extending the time about allowing a transition period that will make it both financially prudent for the company itself, keep the generation of power going, but be moving in the direction of meeting the air quality and the emission standards. We've written that letter to ask for that time, and I would hope that EPA would give some consideration. It's not often that all of us Democrats
get
and Republicans decide to agree on a
page, right? But it is a huge issue,
and deals with the issue of water as well. The gentleman's right. Water is a finite resource. Sometimes in the past we've treated it as though it was not, and one of the issues that I think it's not only about how you manage the growth, how you centralize the growth. One of the things that here in Pima County when I was in the Board of Supervisors that added more to the depletion and more to the drawdown was the leapfrogging of our development across this community. I think we reached a point that we have to relook at our living scape and where we are, and you see more and more people moving into urban areas. The resource itself, the conservation of that resource is going to be essential, and you compound that with the fact that there is climate change going on.
Yeah.
And the droughts, the excessive heat that we're feeling and other parts of the country are feeling, the wildfires last year here. And
hottest
this year
on record last year in the United States.
And this
States.
Year in New Mexico.
Yeah.
All point to that direction. 97% of the scientists in the United States agree that there is climate change. Even Mueller, who at first was a doubter of climate change, has now come to the conclusion that it is real and that man contributes to that, and carbon dioxide and methane contribute to it. I think that we have to come to grips with that, come to grips with our dependency on fossil fuels, in addition to the water issue, and start looking at alternatives and renewables as the principal source of power for us in the future. But it is finite, and I think the two directions that I see water going in there, it's not the extreme of rationing, but as we grow as a community, that very precious resource, finite commodity that we have in this community is going to begin to cost people more in absence of a real conservation movement. Growth is, I don't say it's inevitable. It's how you manage it and where you concentrate it. And I don't think we're there yet.
Quick Facebook question before I give it back to you, Mark Evans. This is from David. Why don't you get more directly involved in Mexican-American studies issue rather than what David says, just words of support and no action?
I think we've asked the Education Department to do an investigation as to any civil rights violations. We've been opposed to the actions of Horn and the present superintendent. We were opposed to the legislation, and I think I have stated that and been very strong of that. Have I joined with others in going to people's houses and picketing them at their home? No. Have I gone and made some grandmother cry? No. Have I been at the school board meeting to yell at my daughter? No. But do I support the program? Do I support the legal challenges that are going on? Do I support the employees that are there? Absolutely. If the litmus test is to do what is expected of me by some people, then obviously in David's mind I failed. But if the litmus test is to be supportive in every possible way to what I think was an illegal and stupid action on the part of the state, I think we've been consistent all the way down the line, and we'll continue to support the program and push for its reinstatement.
Mark Evans, quickly running out of time here, believe it or not.
Well, the Affordable Care Act, to me, is a classic example of congressional sausage making. It's such a massive bill that caters to all numbers of constituencies. So for me, simply, wouldn't we all be better off if we just made Medicare available to everyone?
We would, probably in the long term, in all honesty, Mark. One of the proposals that didn't catch any legs was to begin a pragmatic lowering of the eligibility age for Medicare, period. And that smacked of universality, that smacked of government taking over, and considerable opposition to that. And as we went through the process of negotiating the sausage, and it was difficult, and some people say Raul can't compromise, he doesn't play well with others. Well, the fact of the matter is my principal initiative was the public option, where we would create a Medicare-like, and that Medicare would be the heart of it, to compete effectively with private providers across this country. In the negotiations within our own caucus and outside our caucus with AMA, with the pharmaceuticals, et cetera, that was dropped. And I voted for the bill. And I voted for the bill because it is not – I know it's not perfect, but it is probably the best foundation that we have right now to begin to realize what has been a dream, and a very elusive dream at that, to try to maximize the affordability and access for every American of good health care. The fact that potentially 32 million people who are uninsured will be insured under this act is all a plus. The other plus that I really support is what the efficacy of what's in there now. Pre-existing conditions, prohibition, you can't deny me. What's in there now, extending the coverage for families to their kids to 26. Premiums must be the same for both genders when it used to be much higher for women. And you can't cap my treatment, and you can't cap where I go, because insurance companies do that as well. And the 80-20 rule, that 80% of what you pay in must go to patient care. And put some more teeth into the consumer side so that people will be able to effectively challenge decisions that are being made by private insurance companies. Those are all pluses. And as I told the good doctor that's running in the primary against me, because he feels that tort reform will solve all our health care problems that we have, it also extends health malpractice coverage for people that work in community health centers and doctors and in free clinics, which he does. My point being that it is a foundation, it's a building block, and I support it. I'm going to continue to support it and try to keep working, I think, as diligently as I can to begin to include into that package some things that were left out in the process in the making of that sausage.
Got about 30 seconds to go, so I need a real quick answer from you, Congressman. Are we going to fall off the fiscal cliff in this country, or what's going to happen?
Being a first-generation American here in this country that I love very much, mm-hmm. I'm an eternal optimist. And I think that the members of Congress are going to act like adults and walk in, because if we go into a lame duck where the choices are this Budget Control Act, where everything is automatic, if we go into a lame duck and refuse to deal with the issues that are facing us, then that cliff becomes even even more scary. I'm an optimist that the adults are going to show up, and there's going to be a different mix in Congress this next time around. But these are going to be lame duck decisions, and there's concern.
All right. We'll keep our fingers crossed that action will come. Congressman, thank you very much for being with us. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks a lot. We will be back with our Friday Reporters Roundtable right after this.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Some miners in South Africa vow a fight to the death a day after 34 striking miners died when police opened fire on them. Republican Mitt Romney's campaign manager says President Obama clearly wants to talk about Romney's tax returns instead of the issues that matter to voters. Trials scheduled for early next year for two former Penn State officials accused of lying to a grand jury and helping to cover up allegations against Jerry Sandusky. For just the second time in more than a century, the world's oldest commissioned warship, the USS Constitution, will be setting sail under its own power. That will be happening this weekend. Wall Street, the Dow up 15 points, the NASDAQ ahead 10, the S&P 1 point higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including five major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended Custom Foot Orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, where we bring in local journalists and give them a chance to sound off on the week's top stories. And as I always say, there's never a shortage of week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Mark B, like in boy, Evans. He's the administrator of the TucsonCitizen.com. What is the B for?
Brian.
Bruce?
Brian.
Oh, Brian. And Sarah Garrett-Gasson is here, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star. Should you tell us your middle name?
Louise.
Oh.
And please don't. Growing up in the time of the Jeffersons, I was called Wheezy a lot.
Well, you just gave yourself a nickname.
Oh, boy.
The Jeffersons is a fine program, I need to say.
If you have a comment or a question, we always welcome it on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. And we want to tell you, and gladly so, that the Reporters Roundtable on our program is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. This is a great place. I've been up there, and it is really a nice facility, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Sarah and Mark, how are your weeks going so far? You have a good week, both of you?
Yeah, great.
Yeah, moving on up to the east side.
There you go.
Jeffersons.
I'm going to begin with a piece of economic development news, Accelerate. I love that that name with the numeral 8. Technology Corporation announcing that they will be moving their headquarters from Denver to Tucson. I think this is a big deal. It's not a tremendous amount of jobs initially, Mark Evans, but I think what it does is it says that Tucson is moving forward in an area that is wonderful to move forward in, an area with clean high-paying jobs, bioscience.
Yeah, Arizona a few years ago, and it created a bioscience initiative that's kind of languished during the – or it was actually killed during the budget crisis a few years ago. But that hasn't stopped the U of A and the county and the city from continuing to emphasize biosciences in the county. And this firm coming here, I think, is a good sign for that. You've got the Keno campus that's expanding over there with a number of medical office buildings going in next door. And then you've got the U of A's Bioscience Park that is a mixed-use park that also has the new Walmart and – or not Walmart, Sam's Club and Costco that opened next door to each other. In that whole area. So this is also particularly good news for some of the county supervisors who are running, who are being accused of not doing a whole lot for the economy and economic development.
Yeah, because jobs is seems to be at the top of the list of every candidate that I speak to, and I think probably the same with you, Sarah.
Oh, absolutely. Jobs is number one. No matter people running for office, they just say jobs, 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 jobs.
Jobs. Three
and,
times.
And they really should, because that is a primary issue on people's minds. And I think another thing to talk about with this whole biotech company coming in is that this should be yet another kind of call to the legislators in our state that we need to shore up our education system so companies like this who have families or workers who have families who want to come and to have kids in school age so they can go to a quality school and then grow up and graduate and maybe get a job at one of these firms. We need to grow our own in terms of having a workforce that, that companies like this can come in and hire and that employees will want to move to when their companies come.
And one of the big incubators for this biosciences and biotech effort is coming from the University of Arizona through its Bio5 program. That is it's a kind of a combined discipline where you've got not just biology, but you've got all the biosciences as well as others that are combined to do research, and then capitalize on that research and turn it around and spin off businesses. One of the most successful, and that wasn't necessarily from Bio5, but it came out of the University of Arizona, was Ventana, which is now Roche up in Oro Valley, which is becoming Oro Valley's largest employer, if not Oro Valley's largest employer.
And the head of Accelerate, Larry Marin, who was our guest yesterday here on the Buckmaster Show, comes from heading up the global business end of it for Ventana and Roche, so he knows – about our area and about bioscience. And the thing that I like about this is you have one it's just like one will attract others, hopefully, mm-hmm. to come and get the ball rolling, continue to roll the ball. And everybody needs economic development at this point.
And it's that idea of clustering mm-hmm. businesses and like industries together. You're absolutely right. They do grow, you know, one from another to another.
Sarah Garrett-Gasson is with us from the Arizona Daily Star, and Mark Evans is here from TucsonCitizen.com. And Sarah brought up the subject of education, and it looks like now State Treasurer Doug Ducey will formally head up this campaign to defeat the making the temporary 1 cent sales tax hike approved by voters 2 years ago permanent. I'm not quite sure how this is a good idea for Mr. Ducey, who is thinking about running for governor, to oppose this.
Well, I think it is a way for him to get his name out in the general public. It's a way for him to show his true blood, very conservative Republican roots, the appeal to base voters in Arizona. I do think, though, that it being an elected official, especially someone in charge of the state treasury, it is inappropriate for him to be actively campaigning for or against an issue that has repercussions on the state budget.
And would you say the same thing about the Secretary of State?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons that – I mean, when Secretary of State Ken Bennett took the action to keep this issue off the ballot, I thought it was, you know, inappropriate for him having – because he is an elected official and he had made the statement that he was going to stay out of politics. And, of course, now he's presidential contender Mitt Romney's campaign person in Arizona. But it just goes back to the issue of credibility in elected officials. And I really do believe that elected officials who have specific jobs need to stay within those jobs and not get involved in politics, even if they have political aspirations for the future.
The Treasurer of Arizona, whose job it will be to collect this money and to distribute it if the bill is passed, to be running a campaign that's opposed to it just has a kind of a funny smell to it. Nevertheless, there's nothing in state law that bars him from doing it, so it's legal for him to do it. I'm divided on this. Effort. I do think we need more funding for education. I would like to see there to be some sort of dedicated funding specifically for education. I do not like sales taxes, and I do not like sales taxes for education, and I do not like propositions that mandate spending that tie the hands of the legislature. It was one of the biggest reasons we had such a hard time getting through the budget crisis over the past 3 years, 4 years, was because there was so much spending that's hands off, that it was mandated by voters. It left the very little discretion to the or flexibility to the to the Congress, to the
where those people up state in lawmakers,
the legislature. Thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm with them in spirit, but I'm kind of against them in principles. If that makes any sense.
And in a story by Capital Media Services, Howard Fisher, Doug Ducey says we don't need the money. That's
right,
a direct quote.
Going to mention that.
Yeah, which is just flat out wrong. And if he does run for governor, I believe it will probably come back to haunt him as a campaign point against him. But it's the kind of thing that it just shows sort of a short-sighted view on the state budget and on the needs of the state. And the money that was supposed to go from the 1 cent sales tax that Governor Brewer supported to education did not protect education from the ravages of this budget process. And so Mr. Ducey, I believe, is totally incorrect. And yes, Arizona does need the money.
Yeah, he said we don't need the money, unlike 2010 when the state faced a $3 billion deficit. Well, I think that even though we have a small rainy day fund right now, we may be facing a deficit here very soon.
Yeah, there's a budget surplus and they put some money away, which was about half the money that the sales tax increase was bringing in. They put away $450 million. And then there's also the budget surplus that came in this year. But tax cuts go into effect next year. And if voters were not to pass this, then there would be a serious budget crisis again that would probably require more cuts to education. You know, I think voters are going to have to pass it no matter what. Just on principle, though, I would rather see a larger package that was proposed by the O'Connor House in Phoenix that completely reforms the budget-making system and repeals some of this mandated spending and starts over. But when a good portion of the public doesn't have faith in the legislature, they use direct democracy and they take matters into their own hands, which they have done repeatedly over the past 15 years in the state.
12:45 now on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson is editorial writer at the Arizona Daily Star, and Mark Evans is administrator at TucsonCitizen.com. Want to turn our attention to an editorial that was in the Star yesterday, perhaps. Was that right?
Yes, I believe so.
The wrong way to do business at City Hall, and this is referring to, well, a lot of people are very upset about this in the West University area. For folks who perhaps have not been following this, there's a lot of angry people over there right now.
Yes, yes, there are.
To say the least.
Basically, the shorthand version is there were plans for a 90-foot building that the developer wanted to be, I think, 159, around that. And then this magic compromise at 130 came out, and the developer went to manage to get support on the council.
The developer is Bill Viner, and he did originally want 159 feet.
Yes, yes. And the problem was neighbors were involved, council people representing the area were involved, but when it came down to getting this quote-unquote compromise, he went to Councilwoman Shirley Scott, whose district is nowhere near the university, and basically left out Councilman Steve Kozacik, who does represent that area, along with Councilwoman Karen Ulick, who represents areas nearby. So he managed to finagle this compromise that was presented and passed, and then the neighbors say they didn't know about it. The council members who represent the area didn't know about it, and it's just an example of how can you trust what the city officials tell you if you can sit for a year or so in meetings with discussions back and forth, and then ta-da, there's some compromise which isn't a compromise and doesn't include the very people who need to know about it most.
Mark Evans, do you have a view on this?
Yeah, I mean, this issue, it was not a surprise to
this would be a student housing tower just west
and,
of
and mixed use. There's also going to be some commercial applications. It's not going to be entirely just student dorms that in these 14-story towers that they are planning. But the West University plan has been going through the public process for more than a year. There have been, you know, there were zoning meetings, there were council meetings, there were council hearings, there were individual meetings with the neighborhoods. There were, I mean, a lot of meetings. And when the council voted on this several months ago, they approved 14 stories. The West Neighborhood Association tried to get that put to a referendum. That failed because of the snafu with the clerk's office and the petitions, and the judge, they ended up suing, and the judge ended up ruling against them and threw the petitions out, which I think they're appealing now.
I believe so.
This latest effort was a way to let cooler heads prevail and try, because West University had their own plan. They had come up with an alternative plan that included, I think, 8 or 9 story buildings. And so this was a compromise to that. And so on the one hand, yeah, the West University neighborhood people kind of had the rug pulled out from under them at this council vote. But at the end of the day, the council could have rejected it. And it still passed. It got 4 votes. So I think that there was nothing in terms of the heights of the buildings that was anything of a surprise. These are all numbers that have been getting kicked around for more than a year. So I agree with Sarah on the one hand that, yeah, going to Shirley Scott and rather than the Kozacik was probably politically astute, but perhaps morally ambiguous. But on the other hand, you know, I don't think that there's a result here that is all that different than it's a fact it's going to be shorter buildings than what they had in the first place. So I think the result is fine if I talked myself into a complete circle there.
And it's also, I think, I mean, if you live in that university area, in the downtown area, you have to accept that we do need high-rise buildings along that area. It's just going to be a fact of life.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up here on the Reporters Roundtable. Thank you very much, Sarah, and thank you, Mark. I hope you both have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Bill.
All right.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Oh, we love to hear that music. It signals the weekend in this portion of Weekend Watch and the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Visit historic Pinos Altos, hike along the Continental Divide Trail, or take part in the Pick-a-Mania. That's the free music festival returning to Silver the weekend of September the 7th. Great accommodations, including Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses. More at southwestnewmexico.org. And now we welcome the host of Weekend Watch, Russell Public Communications CEO and President Matt Russell, also known as Culinary Cruiser, about town. How you doing, Matt?
Doing great, and man, oh man, is the cruiser ever ready for this weekend? How about you, Bill?
Oh, I couldn't be more ready. I always know when it's going to be a big food weekend for you, Matt Russell. You begin your fast after your huge dinner that you consume on Thursday night. I mean, I think the average amount of calories that a human being really can get by nicely on is about 2,000 to 2,500. You can consume 2,500 to 4,000 calories typically at any dinner menu.
You know, I've been wondering why I've been getting these calls from the Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know. Now it's clear to me what these guys want with me.
Yeah, they're looking for a man named the Culinary Cruiser. What's going on a TGIF?
Yeah, happy Friday to you and your listeners. Tonight, our good friend Pat Connors from Pastiche Modern Eatery over there on North Campbell, he's going to be hosting another incredible wine tasting tonight, as he does every Friday night at 5 o'clock. And tonight, I understand that he's going to be pouring a range of delicious Spanish wines. Now, Bill, I haven't seen the list of tonight's wines specifically, but we're likely to see some Tempranillos and some Riojas and Garnachas, and I love the Verdejos. And the tasting for all these wonderful Spanish wines is only $5. Gets underway at Pastiche tonight at 5 p.m., and let me, of course, suggest dinner at Pastiche following the tasting. Always been one of my favorite restaurants in Tucson.
Yeah, you'll certainly work up an appetite with all those Spanish wines. Might even be a Spanish sparkler in there as well.
You can count on it.
Tucson's birthday bash, 237 years marking the founding by the red-haired Irishman, Hugo O'Connor.
Absolutely. Doesn't look a day over 236 as I'm making my way around town, but it's going to be a tropical birthday bash theme this year, Bill, on Saturday from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Main Gate Square, which, of course, is that great pathway of goodness on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid, and, of course, all up and down 4th Avenue. They're going to have a lot of restaurants and merchants featuring themed discounts, featuring the numbers 2, 3, and 7. So everything from $2.37 slices of blueberry crumb cake at the Scented Leaf Tea House to 23.7% off any item at Antigone's. This is going to be a great party. All the streetcar construction should be cleared from University Boulevard for the party. Live music. This is going to be a family affair. And, of course, there's going to be cake possibly everywhere you look on Main Gate Square. So happy birthday to the Old Pueblo.
Yeah, the Old Pueblo. The official day is Monday, and they will have an activity also going on downtown starting at 6:30 on Monday evening, kind of the flag ceremony there. And you were speaking about Spanish wine. What about a Spanish wine dinner at Hacienda del Sol?
Yeah, absolutely. Not officially classifying as a weekend celebration, but the Culinary Cruiser loves to define weekends more than just a three-day experience. This actually is going to be hosted on Monday night at 6 o'clock, the Spanish wine dinner up at the Hacienda del Sol, a five-course wine dinner featuring the wines and cuisine of Spain. The culinary team has worked very hard with the resort sommelier to pair the perfect wine with the perfect dish, and as I said, there's five courses of this. You'll be able to take a virtual tour across Spain, enjoy some wonderfully authentic Spanish food, some great wines to complement each course. And there's only a few seats remaining, Bill, so I urge your listeners to give the Hacienda a call to make reservations for Monday night, and that number is 529-3500.
And a quick shout-out to our very good sponsors and friends. Vero Amore will be – they've got a big celebration coming up, as you know, Matt. They'll be moving over to the newly remodeled Plaza Palomino at the end of the month.
Yeah, they will be, and that is not an easy undertaking. They actually have the only authentic Italian pizza oven in Southern Arizona, and what they have to go through to transport this brick oven, which cooks pizzas at 1,000 degrees from one location to another. I mean, you think they're going to need a police escort, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but
I love the pizza at Vero Amore. Some of the best in town.
We're very proud of their sponsorship. Have a great weekend, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
Support for our Friday show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. More at SplendidoTucson.com. And you want the best bottled water in town, folks? It's Culligan. What is it about Culligan water? Well, it simply tastes better. It is the official water of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon, the John C. Scott Show at 4. Then Monday morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. They'll have Pima County Supervisorial Candidate Allie Miller on the show. And UA football, head football coach Rich Rodriguez will be calling in to the Wake Up Show on Monday. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, our lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Ten thirty, KVOI Cortero Tucson, and 9:30 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.